sounded like a prayer. May those who come behind us find us faithful. And that's important for us to do that. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Brother Thompson at this time. I really intended to have a handshake, but it seems that our is moving along, so it's all right, but even we'll just omit that at this time. Brother Thompson lives in West Tennessee. He's recently resigned as the pastor of Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church at Camden, Tennessee. He formerly was in Detroit, Michigan. He's a member of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, a church that I pastored at one time. In fact, I was his pastor at the time that he announced his calling to preach. And we've had a good association down through the years. Of course, his dad comes here nearly every Sunday to church, and we appreciate Brother Jimmy and his friendship and the worship that we've had. I may have told you all this, but you know, when I was first went to Detroit, we had some professions and was going to baptize them, and I filled the baptistry up and ran it over. And so on Sunday morning, that was on Saturday, Sunday morning, Brother Jimmy came in and he walked up to me and he said, "You flunked your first assignment." So we've been good friends for a long time. And it's a real joy and a pleasure for me to introduce Brother Randy. He was here with us a few years ago for the revival, and we really enjoyed his preaching during the revival and looking forward to it again today. You hold him up in your prayers, will you, as he comes to bring the message to us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will say that I have never run the baptistry over. It's been close, Brother Moran. I don't know how he did it, but where I was at the church, I would put the plug in and I would turn the water on, and you know, you realize it takes time to fill up a baptistry, and I'd get a phone call or I'd get into some studying, and then all of a sudden it would hit me that the baptistry's running, and I'd go tearing into the sanctuary and close, but I got it before it went over. I think we ought to leave that job to the deacons. It's good to be here today, and I appreciate the kind words Brother Moran said, and I'm not ashamed in a public setting to tell him I love you, brother. He has been a mentor of mine, as he said, ever since my call to the ministry, and when I came to him and was troubled about it, he basically said, "That's between me and the Lord." I was wanting him to tell me, but he said, "I can't tell you. That's between you and the Lord." But for at least 45 years now, I guess, brother, we've been knowing each other, and he's been a great mentor to me. The love that I have for him isn't just for him. I love all of God's people. We have a unique bond that people of the world does not have, and that's the relationship that we share with the Lord, and I'm thankful for that today. I do desire your prayers as I try to share a message with you. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be reading from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, right after the book of Numbers, right before the book of Joshua, the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to be in chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm just going to read a few verses for my scripture reading there, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. Now, in this sixth chapter, we know that Moses was exhorting the children of Israel. He wanted them to hear God. He wanted them to keep God's commandments. And part of that was loving the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. But I want to start reading in verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I'm going to stop with those few verses. I'm going to take a text from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 8 and verse 34. And this is what we find recorded there. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord, their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. My thought for a few moments of time this morning, or the title of my message, is Beware Lest Thou Forget the Lord. Beware lest thou, or in other words, you, forget, or as my text verse said, remember not the Lord. It saddens me this morning to make that statement, but there's many in our nation today who in their own words and by their own actions, they've forgotten the Lord. And I'm not just talking this morning about the unsaved, but I'm talking about professed Christians as well. They have forgot the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of the danger of people forgetting him. Over in Judges in chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, I think we see proof of this. And this is what it says. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation that knew not the Lord, nor yet the words which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. Now this was written around 1425 BC. But brothers and sisters, it happens in every generation. Every generation, some would say, well, I never forget God. And I want us to realize this morning that there's a difference between awareness and compliance. A difference between awareness and compliance. You know, when you think of awareness, awareness is a mindfulness of something. It's a knowledge of something. It's an understanding, or it's a grasping, particularly of God. But when we talk about compliance, we're talking about submission. We're talking about conformity. When we're talking about compliance, we're talking about observance of God. And I want you to see the difference between awareness and compliance. And the main difference is that compliance moves us. It causes us to do something. You know, David in the 59th Psalm, he reveals to us that God will go to great lengths to prick the memories of his people. Now, when we read about David, usually David prays to the Lord that he will destroy his adversaries quickly, that he will defeat them in battle completely. But not in this chapter. In this psalm, he prayed for gradual justice. I want you to notice, and it seems odd, but verse 11 tells his purpose. He said, slay them not, lest my people forget. He wanted them to be alive. He wanted them to be suffering, to remember the power and the judgment and the authority of God. And we need to remember that too, because we're prone sometimes to stray from God's will for our lives. And we need to remember, you know, that we have, you know, let's be honest, we have these fleshly desires. We have this sinful nature of man. And as a result of that, we are subject to the influences of Satan. And all this time that has passed from then to now hasn't changed anything. People today, we're still subject to the same struggles that they faced all that time ago. That's why Moses, in this book of Deuteronomy, and in chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, he said, only take heed to thyself. And he said, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thou hast seen with thine eyes, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them unto thy sons, and unto thy sons' sons. Moses wanted to make sure that the children of Israel did not forget what they had seen God do. Didn't want them to forget all the things that God had done. So he urged the parents to tell the children about God's wonderful miracles. He urged them to tell them about the movements of God. Urged them to tell them about the blessings that God had worked amongst them. And the benefit, of course, for the parents by doing so, it kept the remembrance before them, but it also shared with the children what God could do and has done so that they in their lives would know that from one generation to another generation to another generation, as the sister sang a few moments ago about the generation in front of us sees what we have done because we've looked at the generation behind us and we saw what they've done. That's why we're here today. That's why we're worshiping in this building, because of faithful brothers and sisters for nearly 100 years have made sure that this was a place that was available for people to come and to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that that is, and we need to remember that. It's funny how prosperity leads people to the forgetfulness of God. It's amazing to me that when God blesses us, we look at people's lives and all of a sudden, instead of more appreciative or thankful or worshiping unto the Lord, they get distracted and they get out into the world and do other things. It's so true. I've seen it many times. That's what my reading this morning is about. And in Psalms 106 and verse 21, it says, they forgot God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Now, just as Israel forgot God, let's be honest, we do sometimes. You say, well, how do I forget God? Well, when we have church services, if you don't come, do you think that you've forgotten God? We've got that commitment. We've got that responsibility to do it. There's no excuse other than health reasons for not to be here if you can be here. But yet, we get other things that get in our way. But I want you to listen to what we need to do about that. Because Deuteronomy chapter 6, it challenges all of us today. Even though it was so long ago, it challenges all of us today through Moses' message to Israel about things we ought not to forget. Brothers and sisters, we are to remember our redemption. We are to remember our rescue. We're supposed to remember our salvation. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm forgetting a lot of things lately. My dad always says, well, you just wait another 20 years, son. And I'm sure I understand what it is now, I'm sure what it's going to be in 20 years. But I'll tell you right now this morning, one thing I have never forgotten was the day that I went to an altar of prayer and repented of my sins unto the Lord, and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he removed the burden of sin that I felt in my heart, and he put a joy and a peace within that. I've never forgotten that. And it's been over 50 years since the Lord has saved my soul, and I've never, ever forgotten that. So he says, we need to remember. Verse 12 said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. They got caught up in prosperity and they forgot where they came from. They forgot what they had been through. And all of Israel, they had been slave to Egypt, having lived there, for the scripture said, 430 years. And I want us to realize this morning that Israel's Egypt experience, it's an Old Testament type. It's a shadow that represents us, and it represents sin, and it represents the bondage of sin. And we need to see that relationship in our own lives today. Moses told Pharaoh that God said, let my people go. And the scripture said that Pharaoh said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let them go. The thing about it is Pharaoh, he was full of himself. And he was at the point where he didn't believe that someone was greater than he was. But yet, you know the story, if you've read your Bible, you know that God brought plagues, didn't he? He brought the plagues of rivers of blood and the plague of frogs and the plague of lice and the plagues of flies and locusts and hail and boils and darkness. The last plague, though, was a tough one. The last plague was the death of all firstborn. And Israel, as we read in Scripture, Israel was delivered from this plague. They were delivered from the bondage by the means of the Passover lamb. And the Scripture tells us there that when the lamb's life was given and when the blood was shed and they took the blood and they plied it over the door lintels, that when the death angel came, it passed over and their firstborn lived. And those who did not have the blood applied, their firstborn died. And we know it took the very life of Pharaoh's own son before he got to the point where he said that he would let Israel go. Now Israel, you know, they needed to remember the words of the Lord. Brother Buddy in Sunday school this morning, he talked about the importance of God's word and how it's important for us to be in God's word and know what God's word said. Because when we know what God's word says, we're encouraged. We have confidence in God. Why? Because we've seen what he's done before. And if he's done it before, he can do it again. And listen to what he said to Israel in this sixth chapter of Exodus, beginning in the sixth verse. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I like this part. Listen to how many times he says, I will. He says, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you unto a land concerning the which I swear to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Did he do it? He absolutely fulfilled what he said that he would do for them. And brothers and sisters, when the Lord redeems us from our sins, he delivers us and he accepts us and he becomes our God. He is our Father and he leads us to a new life as we follow him with compliance. I'm thankful today that I do my very best to never take his mercy and his grace for granted. Never take the Lord's mercy and grace for granted. Never forget his goodness to you, beginning in redemption if you've been saved by the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. As they prepared for their exodus from Egyptian bondage, they were commanded to make bread without yeast, make unleavened bread. Yeast was a symbol of sin, and they were instructed in the word to clean it out of their houses. They were instructed to clean it out of their lives. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And as he shed his blood for us, he paid the price required for us to be able to be liberated from the enslavement of sin, from that bondage of sin. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 records, in whom we have redemption. How? I added that word. In whom we have redemption. How? It says, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the richness of his grace. We are redeemed by his blood. We are forgiven of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Brothers and sisters, we ought never to forget this. Jesus paid the price to liberate us from the enslavement of sin. He brought about the pardon that was necessary, the pardon that was needed to appease the wrath of God against sin. And may we remember that, as my scripture said, lest we forget the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember our sources. You know, it seems to me so many people, when they are in need, the last place they go to is the Lord. That needs to be the first place that we go to. We need to realize the resource or the source that we have in the Lord. Just as God gave to the Israelites and was their source, He gives to us and He is our source. Everything we have received comes from the Lord. What? Where do you get that, preacher? Well, I get that from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doesn't thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? That's the truth. I hate to say it, but some don't like this because they're the ones that aren't receiving credit for what they did. Everybody wants to take credit for what's going on in their lives. You don't deserve the credit. God deserves the credit. It's all because of Him. And again, we own nothing of our own. It's all been given to us by a gracious and a loving God. But we forget that so easily. And we become attached to the things of life, thinking that they're ours. Brothers and sisters, we're only stewards. We're only trustees. We're only caretakers of what God has enabled us, and what God has allowed us to have. The psalmist was pretty clear in the 24th Psalm in the first verse. He said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Didn't leave out anything, did it? Everything belongs to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the majesty of God is all around us. All we got to do is look at His creation. This is a beautiful time of the year when the leaves start to change and fall is upon us. And the springtime when the things start budding. God is the architect of all of those things. And we should be amazed by the majesty of the Lord. I oftentimes think, you know, you hate to use the word fool, but sometimes I just like to tell people, don't be a fool. Don't be fooled. Think about the majesty of our Lord and what He's done for us. We see God truly in so many things if we just open up our eyes to Him. We got to slow down from the busyness of life. I know we got responsibilities we have to meet, schedules to keep, but we got to find time for God. We got to realize how important the Lord is in our lives. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, Paul tells of this wonderful love that's expressed by God. He said, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" If anyone among us this morning is not saved, you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you don't have a time and a place where you surrendered unto the Lord, I want you to know this morning that this verse, let it speak to your heart. Stop and think, if God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, if God gave His Son for you, He is not going to hold back the gift of salvation from you because He loves you and wants you to experience that. Paul was giving some advice and some encouragement to Timothy, and he said, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." You know, God wants us to have a good life. He wants us to be fulfilled with the things in this life. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. I encourage everyone to reach your highest potential. I'm going to add that God has for you. Enjoy the benefits of that, but remember the commandments of the Lord. Remember where the priorities lie and try to abide by those things. Brothers and sisters, I wonder, who have you trusted in? Where does your trust lie? You know, we need to remember where our blessings come from. We need to remember where our prosperity comes from. We need to remember where our goodness comes from, lest we forget our Lord. We also need to remember the requirements of God. People don't like that part. They want to say, "I love the Lord, I want to serve the Lord, but I don't want to get caught up in the requirements of God." But I hate to tell you, they're there. That is, again, the difference between awareness and compliance. All of God's children, I believe, have an awareness of what God's Word says, but there's a whole lot of them that have forgot the compliance part of God's Word. And Moses in chapter 6, here in verses 4 through 9, he referred to these requirements. He was telling them about the Ten Commandments, to meet those commandments. And, the Ten Commandments are God's moral principles for our personal lives. They're the principles for our families and for our nations. And they're required for our future prosperity, our future blessings, and our future unity. And as we follow the Lord, I honestly believe as we follow the Lord, blessings come when we forget not God. But when we forget God, people miss out. There is a judgment of God. And we see that in the 14th and 15th verse. Listen closely. "Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's pretty plain. Don't go after other gods that are around you. Don't deceive yourself by saying, "Well, I'm not like the children of Israel," or "I'm not like so-and-so. There's no idols in my home. I don't worship any idols like Israel did." I want you to understand what the definition of an idol is this morning. The definition of an idol is anything that you place above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That becomes your idol. It can be a number of things. It can become a TV program. It can become a golf game, a fishing game, baseball game, football game. It could be anything. Fishing. And I'm not just hung up on sports. There's all kinds of things that people get involved in that they put above the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, there should be nothing that we place above the Lord. When we place things above the Lord, it brings us back to lest we forget the Lord. I'm thankful today that I try to keep the Lord in the proper place in my life. I've often made a statement, you know, as a minister and pastoring for over 30 years, I learned something that, well, I don't like it. And what I learned is I can't make anybody love the Lord. Can't do it. I can encourage them. I can be an example to them. I can preach to them. I can teach to them. I can tell them about the love of the Lord. I can tell them how they need to love the Lord. But I can't make them love the Lord. They have to want to do that for themselves. Why are you here this morning? I can tell you why I'm here this morning. It's more than the appointment that I have, which I'm thankful for. But I'm here this morning because I love the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. And I want to share the Lord with other people. And that ought to be the desire of our hearts. The Word told us how the Lord feels about that. The Bible said that God is a jealous God. And if we put other things before the Lord, the Scripture said it'll kindle His anger against us. And He'll dole out His righteous judgment. Psalms 9 and 17 said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that what? That forget God." So how do we remember the requirements of the Lord so that we can remember them and keep them? Well, back to my lesson here in Deuteronomy. In verse 4, Israel was told, "Hear the Lord." In other words, what he was saying, listen. Brothers and sisters, there is power in listening. When you leave here today, I've always said throughout my ministry that in every message that's given, whether you want to label it as a message to the church, you want to label it as a message to the unsaved, whatever it is, but every message that I preach, I try to make sure that there's something in there for everybody, saved and unsaved. And my desire is that if you leave with one thing out of the message today, I did good. But if you leave with two or three things out of the message, what a blessing, what a bonus. But we need to listen. Preachers talk about things they know. Most of the time it's their family. So since Dad is here today, I don't want him to feel left out. But more than once when I was growing up, my dad would say, "Son, if you just listen for a minute, I could teach you something." And that's true, you know. God is the same way. I wonder sometimes if he would like to knock us on the head and tell us as God's people, hey, if you would just listen for a minute, I could teach you something. I believe that he will. I imagine God wants us to grasp that at times. Israel was told in verse 5 to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their might. That's with our entire being. That's all. That's our everything. We are to love the Lord. Israel was told to instruct the family, to make the Word of God a part of their home, the center of their conversations, their daily meditation. I think many in the world forgot that today. The home, not the church, not the school system, but the home is the center of teaching. Now, the church and the school system can be a supplement to that, but it begins in our homes by what we say to them, what we do, and what we show them. And then he said to Israel that they needed to apply the word, that they needed to build reminders of the scriptures in their lives, that they needed to bind them and they needed to write them. Do those things so that the word would stick in their hearts. There's lots of ways to do that, brothers and sisters. Memorizing, writing it. We need to. I mean, just stop for a minute. If I asked everybody here this morning to close your Bible, and I started right over here. What's your name, sister? Sister Kupis. If I started with Sister Kupis and I said, Sister Kupis, I want you to quote me every scripture you know from memory. Don't do it. Don't start. We may not have time for all those that you have in your heart. But you just stop and answer the question for yourself. How many, if your Bibles were taken away from you today, where would you be? What could you tell people? What kind of a witness could you be? We need to make these things stick. You know, when I was growing up, sister talked about the little kids' chairs in Sunday school. You know, we did something in Sunday school which I don't see, and I've traveled to several churches this last year. I don't see any kids reciting scripture. You know, when I was growing up, we'd come up from Sunday school class and we would stand before the church and we would quote the scripture that we learned for that Sunday. And I can remember many times Dad, having us quote the scripture to him so when we went to church, we would be able to quote the scripture. That was after he made us polish our shoes and read our Sunday school lessons. But, you know, that's all part of it. It needs to be ingrained in us, all of these things. And brothers and sisters, we need reminders. We need reminders not only for our own selves, but we need reminders for the future generation. And today, you know, this is a special day. This right here, the Lord's Supper, communion, it's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that's to be taken very seriously. In fact, this is one of the two ordinances that our churches are built upon. And they are to be observed. And, you know, I know people say, well, I'm just not worthy. No, you're not worthy. None of us are worthy. But we need to get our hearts right with God so that we can partake of it to fulfill the ordinance that the Lord has given us. And this partaking of this in just a few moments, it's a reminder of our Savior. It is a reminder of who He is. It's what He's done, how He did it, and why we're His followers. And I want you to remember as I close. It was a sad day when the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them out of the hands of the enemies. The title of my sermon this morning was Beware Lest Thou Forget the Lord. And I want to encourage the church as you partake of the Lord's Supper today, as has already been said through the songs and the comments that have been made, remember what Jesus had to endure to be able to deliver you out of the hands of the enemy, which is Satan. Remember what he had to experience so that he could be the only suitable sacrifice that gave you the opportunity to be saved. Every single person has the opportunity to be saved. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will prick a heart, and all that means is it'll open your eyes from the blindness of sin. It means that it just simply means that you'll see your condition. You know, there's no in-between. You're either saved or not saved, lost or saved. There's no in-between. You're not working toward it. The Lord saves us, and when He saves us, then we begin the process of sanctification. Then we begin to grow in the Lord. But in closing today, every individual needs to examine themselves. Members specifically who are about to take the Lord's Supper need to examine yourself. And if there's anything that would be a hindrance, all you got to do is ask God for forgiveness of it. Get it fixed up and make yourself ready. Thank you for hearing me today. Let's not forget the Lord. Let's put Him in the proper place in our life. Let's put Him in the proper place back in our nation. I was watching something about one of the political debates, and you know how all those are going. And one of them was speaking in a rally, and somebody hollered out, "God is the Lord." And they said, "You're at the wrong rally." Imagine that. You're at the wrong rally. That rally's down the road. God needs to be in the proper place. We need to pray for our leaders, that they seek the guidance of God. If they're not saved, we need to be praying for their salvation. We need to pray for one another. That's my message this morning. I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Moran. Thank you for hearing me this morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be with you. I'm not a stranger to the church. So nice to see all of you. I appreciate your kindness that you extend to me, and I appreciate the kindness that you extend to my dad. And I appreciate and love all of you. Thank you. Bless you, Brother Moran.